I want to share with you something that happened yesterday during prayer. I had a pretty profound encounter yesterday during prayer. It was spontaneous. I just got up to exhort a little bit, and it just, with 1 second I was here, and 1 second I was standing in a heavenly room. It's one that I had not been in before. Not like that, not that place. I could see it too. Normally I am an aware person. I'm a feeler, and I can become very aware of the environment I'm in. In the spirit, when I'm in the environment, I'll be very aware of everything that's going on. I can be aware of a lot of things. He speaks to me through awareness and feeling and awareness. Atmospheric awareness is how he speaks to me. But this time I saw. And he wanted me to see this particular room. I was standing in front of these two pillars, and they had king and priest written down them, but I understood them. He kept saying, these are the pillars of Boaz. I kept hearing that, and I remember something about Boaz and pillars somewhere, you know, but I really didn't know what that meant. I just knew it was the pillars of Boaz, and but I saw a king and priest written down these pillars, and I went into this glorious place. Every room, listen, everyone thinks heaven's just one little place. There's a lot going on there. Even there's a lot going on in the spirit. When the Lord said, I pray you be with me where I am, because I prepare a place for you. I'll go and get you. In my Father's house, there's many, when he says mansions, that means dwelling places. There's many, say many dwelling places. There's many places that everything has a certain operation to it and purpose. Everything there, when the Bible says you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in the Father, that's a very real place. It's not like this place, but it is a very real place which your spirit is very accustomed to because it's spiritual. Your spirit connects. The hardest part about it is your flesh does not connect with heavenly things. Your senses does not connect. You don't connect that way. You connect through the word, through promise, by the spirit, but you got to connect. And if you don't connect, you won't know what's there. Amen. As I went in that room, there was a certain glory to it that I hadn't felt before. Every place has a glory, like the room of his rest has a glory. The Father's bosom has a glory. It's just pure love. When you're in the Father, you're in pure love. When you're in his bosom, you're in pure love. In rest, you're in pure rest. It's harmonious, it's rest, it's peace, it's a place of exchange, it's a place that you come out of that place clothed in the rest. Oh, this place was different, it had a different function, it had pillars, two big, very large ones there. On the floor, it had this effervescence type, and I didn't know what I was looking at. It was all white, very white there. And he spoke to me, I'm just telling you what he said to me. He said, this is made of one pearl here. And I knew I was in a room, but I didn't really know what, I knew what it was by revelation. But he told me, Boaz, for a reason. He said different things to me. And he said something to me very clearly. He gave me that, and he'll give you different things in the spirit for a reason. The reason he gives you an encounter so you know how to go back, you know what it looks like, feels like, you'll understand what that room is. The next time you go, you'll know where you're at. Amen. And he said, you're in the shoulders right now of God. He said, you're dwelling in a place called the shoulders. He said, this is the inheritance that was given to Benjamin. This and all of the tribes were given an inheritance. Christ inherited all of that. He can freely give you any one of those inheritances. Amen. He said, but you're dwelling there. He said, it's an inheritance. Benjamin, you know something interesting about Benjamin? He started being back into Benjamin. Benjamin shared the borderline of Jerusalem with Judah. The temple faced it east. Judah was south of Benjamin, but was on the right side of Benjamin. When you're facing east, Judah would be here and Benjamin, but the temple was built in Benjamin. The temple of God was built in the Benjamin. When it's said about Benjamin, he's the beloved of the Lord. No other son had this kind of blessing spoke over him like this. He was little Benjamin, There's little Benjamin with the ruler, but it was powerful because he was full of dominion. You don't have to be strong in numbers to be powerful. In fact, with Gideon, God said, there's too many of you. David got in trouble when he started numbering Israel. That's when he got in huge trouble because he wanted to see his army. God never used him that way. God always used David in faith. He never looked at his circumstances of what he had when he was going up against the giants. He never looked at that. And so when he started numbering Israel, God said, you are looking at the wrong thing. Choose. He gave him three choices. David took the one choice. He fell on his mercy, you know, because he knew God would be merciful with him. But God will deal with us like that. And so these tribes had inheritances to them. And all of this is in the spirit now. Say spirit. And let me give you this scripture. I want you to go to Ephesians 3. This is a real place, but there's things there that are going to release. And this room has something very, very powerful in it. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 is like a whole heavenly book. We've been raised together. Christ was raised up, then we're raised up with him. Ephesians 3, verse 8. It says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. I was said that yesterday. Paul was in a good place. When he's in the place where I'm the greatest of apostles, he's defending himself. Here, he's the least of all saints. He's in a place of humility. Amen. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? They say the unsearchable riches. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God. Say it's hidden in God. There are things hidden in God. God doesn't hide to play a game. It's a mystery, and he opens the mystery to reveal himself. Amen? He's revealing a brand new place, one that we've been looking for a very long time. In the wilderness, they were called to follow God. They didn't live in a technological age like we did that had tracking on their phones and all you had to do is hit your GPS. Well, hey, we're right now in this part of the wilderness, you know, 20 more miles, we're going to be on the edge of the promised land. No, they had never been there. In this world we live in, the whole world's mapped out. Just go on Google and go look here at the housetop of everybody. I mean, we live in a world but back then he was leading them to a wilderness they'd never been in. They didn't know where they were going from. They didn't know what they were going to eat or drink from one day to the next. They didn't know how far or how close they were to the promised land. They didn't know when they wanted. They were walking by faith. Say by faith. We do the same thing. We walk by faith in the realm of the spirit now. We're following God because there's things in the realm of the spirit that we need. Because what we presently have is not enough. I think God signifies that plenty. That the present church age, you don't have enough equipment. You're lacking equipment. I don't care what person wants to make themselves shine before people to act like they've got more than they do. There's a lot of people that act like in the spirit they got a lot more than they really do. And when it comes down to it, they don't have very much. They just know how to present it better. Some know how to present. But we have to have more, say more. More equipment. That equipment's been laid up in heavenly places where he's blessed us what? With all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We got to be a heavenly bride where the supernatural becomes natural. Amen? I mean, you got to be able to step into an encounter and step out of encounter and say, you know, that's natural. I was just in a heavenly room. Instead of just your jaw dropped to the floor, you got to be not so religious that you got to be able to accept the fact that people can go in and out of the spirit like that. I mean, you go to some churches and talk about an encounter like this, they'll get them walk out. I mean, they walk out talking about praying in tongues. Amen? Everyone say, I'm supernaturally natural. He says to make all men see. Say, to make all men see, we have to see. Which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Here's your verse. I'm telling you, I've read every single translation. They did not know what to do with this verse. Listen to this. To the intent that now he wants you to see the mystery and understand and have the revelation, the insight, the illumination. It's this intention, the illuminations for this intention that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I mean, that is a really difficult verse. Here's how it's preached like in the NIV. It says, his intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What does that mean? God's going to give us wisdom, insight, understanding of spiritual government, so we'll make that known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places? You don't think they already know that? Hello. I mean, what are you going to go and teach those that are dwelling in heavenly places? Something they probably already knew a couple of millennials before you were born? Hello. He said the intention, this is really important, the intention of the illumination, the intention of understanding the mysteries of God, it's to this intention that you might understand when it says principalities and powers, it means you might understand the governmental structure, spiritual governmental structure, spiritual governmental operations, administrations. You might understand spiritual governmental structure in heavenly places. That it might be made known, it might be understood, say understood, by the church. And all this is the manifold wisdom of God. Here's what he's saying here. This illumination and insight and understanding in the position we've been given is to understand spiritual governmental structure in heavenly places. We've been given understanding. That word to be known is gnosko. We've been given intimate understanding of how this operates. How do you know that? Look at the next verse. He says, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access into this place. He gives us boldness, access, illumination to show us a spiritual government that's operating in heavenly places to make it known to us, to give us understanding of how that operates. So it can flow into the earth. God gives you insight, encounter, understanding, revelation. You've got to understand how things work there. When you talk about the room of rest, that's an operation of God. When we talk about being in the Father's bosom, that's an operation. That's a place. Well, I went into another place. We talk about the inheritance of Benjamin. He's the beloved of the Lord. Say the beloved. Boy, I am all over that right now in the spirit when I go to pray. That one verse has elevated me to this room. One verse can elevate you. One revelation, one verse can illuminate and open a heavenly room that has a heavenly operation. That's going to change the world that we live in. Benjamin, he goes, I'm beloved of the Lord. That's a place. That's a position. I rest securely in him. He upholds me. See, Benjamin was upheld. He's the son of the right hand. Upheld in a position of love. Upheld in a secure place. He's covered. He said he shieldeth and covers him all the day long. That's just awesome. The Lord told me something to tell you. He said, tell them the greatest battle of all is in the mornings. Your first 30 minutes of your day determines your walk with God. Now, there's certain grace with that statement, understand. Some of you got to get up at 4 in the morning, get to work. I understand that. But those of you that have the time, your first 30 minutes is everything. If you don't put that in alignment with God, the 30 minutes get swept away and you're on about your day outside of alignment with Him, doing things our own way. The enemy will fight that place. But he didn't fight it with horns on his head and shows up with horns and a pitchfork. He says, I'm here to steal your prayer life and your alignment. He doesn't do that. He orchestrates circumstances. He orchestrates distraction. He gets up into your morning just like that. He'll have you wake up with an issue that needs a tissue. Because he wants to keep you out of the door. If you don't know what he's up to, and he's already got your morning planned out for you, he's an expert with distraction. You don't normally know he's at work. Even if you, when you're real spiritual, you don't know he's after that. Sometimes you got to wake up to the fact, how did I lose that? There's nothing greater than being aligned with God, but you have to be trained to stay aligned with God. Our enemy's really good at what he does, but God is really good at what he does. Amen? But God waits for your response. The enemy will take your time. God waits for your time. The enemy takes your time. Benjamin is your position. Judah is our function. Benjamin is the position of the temple. The temple was in Benjamin. We dwell there. And then what did he say about Benjamin? He said, I rest securely. You don't just jump into the shoulders. You come into love first. I'm beloved. Then you come into the rest. Then you become into the shield and the covering of Almighty God. Then you move into the shoulders. The shoulders is the place of government. Say government. That's why the two pillars were there. I looked those two pillars up today. I started looking up Boaz and looked up the two pillars. I got into all kinds of stuff. There's two pillars. I don't know why Solomon, when he built the temple, the two pillars, one of them's name was Boaz and the other one was Joaquin. It's J. Joaquin. 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 It's J-A-C-H-I-N. It's Joaquin in Texas. It's Joaquin. Everywhere else. I'm like, who is Joaquin? Who is this guy? His name is on a pillar. The big pillar. And Boaz. I mean, why is their name there? I mean, Solomon. I mean, it meant strength, swiftness and strength. Swiftness like a horse, they were saying. Strong, but swift. But those were pillars in the house of God. But I saw these pillars when I went in, and the Lord's saying, this is the pillars of Boaz. When I'm in the spirit, I ain't even read that in 20 years. I had to go look it up. I'm like, who is these guys? Found out Joaquin is the priest. He was the 21st order of priest in the temple. He was in the 21st order. Boaz was the great grandfather of David. Boaz was a prince. Had there been kings, he would have been king. He was the lineage. I saw king written down the pillar, but the God told me these are pillars of Boaz. I'm in a heavenly room and he's telling me what's going on here. He goes, you're dwelling in my government right now. He goes, this is the room of my government. This is where my government dwells, and the pillars that upholding is the king and the priest pillars. Joaquin was a priest under the order of David. He's in the 21st priest. I'm thinking, first thing I hear, I'm like, I don't get into numbers or anything like that too much, but I hear this 21st century priest. Because he was a 21st order. And I hear this also, the Spirit of the Lord tell me, about Boaz, you understand Boaz married Ruth. A king married the bride. That represented the church being birthed, the Gentile and the Jewish church being birthed. 3 millennials later, which is David, is the third millennial. Because David's the great-grandson, which is the millennial we're in. A 21st century priesthood. Because why is God writing these names that they don't, Joaquin wasn't any big guy. He was the 21st order of priest. But there was significance to everything God's doing. But regardless, I saw king and priest, and I went in there, I saw the two pillars, I walked through them, and I saw this white floor, and I saw the 7 torches burning in this room. I saw all this stuff going on, and the Lord said, this is my government, this is the room of my government, this dwells in the shoulders. This is the place called the shoulders. It's the inheritance of Benjamin. You have to have Benjamin's inheritance. He goes, but I have Benjamin's inheritance. The Lord said, I've received it, and I give it to all that can have ears to hear and hearts to receive and a heart and a compass to make the journey here. He goes, this is not a low place. This is a high place. The shoulders is the high place. You just don't arrive. You journey there. It's the place where my government, what it says, unto us a son's been given, unto us a child has been born. And what? The government, say the government, shall rest upon his shoulders. It's the place he upholds the spiritual government. 8 operations of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps governments in diversity of tongues. 7 pillars of apostolic government. Salvation, worship, deliverance, divine healing, intercession, benevolence, and discipleship. 7 spirits of God. 7 lamps. All the sevens. I could get into 7 pillars of wisdom. I don't want to just, you get it. Glory to God. 7 continents of the earth. 7 candles, 7 inheritances of Christ. Where is the land to receive? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, understand. All of that's in the government. Say, all that's government. It's like you can't just say the U.S. government and think it's just one little thing. It's a government. This is a spiritual government. There's operations there. But this particular room's been reserved for the last days. This government. What'd he say? And I was dwelling and I was in that room and I'm like, whoa, the glory of this place. The Spirit of the Lord said, this room, you've been here before. I said, I haven't been here. He says, you have been here. When God tells you something, it's a pretty good idea not to argue with him. The reason I'm telling you this, because I'm telling you where we are. When you're journeying, you don't know it. You think you're just coming to church with a taco stand. Listen, God will break all this out to the world when we get what he wants us to get. The whole church doesn't have what God wants them to have yet. He has a testimony for the last days. He's going to shake the whole world with it. But the church wants to apprehend that glory before it releases. He has people ministering what is, and he has people going after what's coming. We're a church called to go after what is to come. That's why when you come to church, there's not a lot of outward activity, but there's a lot of inward. You're journeying, you just don't know it. With God, you can sit in one little place with a taco stand and journey. We've gone a long way here. In the spirit, sometimes we're crawling, sometimes we're walking, sometimes we're running, sometimes we're on fire. And we're burning. Take 3 steps, 6 steps, and sacrifice. I said, Lord, it's time for somebody else to burn besides me around here. Talking about our flesh. Every place we get, the flesh don't go. Boy, God just, he burned out a part of my nature in 2 or 3 weeks, that last fire. Goodness gracious. What was so acceptable to you, like no big deal, when you go through that flame with God and he shows it the way he sees you, come back and like, oh my, I'm never doing that again. There's a government there. We're journeying, but there's something else there. I'm going to tie that in and I'm going to close. The Lord said, just tie it. We're apprehending something. Glory to God. There's something in that room. He said this to me, for you intercessors that listen to me. He said, this is the room that you ask for what's in that constitution. Those words of that constitution belong in this room. He goes, it's not the room of rest. He goes, when you're climbing up in the Father's bosom, that's the time to be loved. That's the time to ask the Father for stuff that belongs to you. When you ask for things pertaining to the government, understands protocol, there's many thrones in heaven. There's not just one throne, there's many. He said there's 12 thrones around his. 12. That's what I'm talking about, government. There's a lot going on there. We get understanding on different parts as we grow up. We get understanding of different operations as we grow up into him. But he has operations for you. You're not just a natural person walking the natural road. You're being trained to walk in the glory. And God's got a mantle for you there. He's got a mantle in that room. That room is full of mantles. He ascended on high and he received gifts from men. All of that sitting in his shoulders. All of the offices of God are sitting in his shoulders. They get a portion from the shoulders. The apostolic office gets apportioned out of the shoulders. It's part of his government. It said the increase of this government and peace, there's going to be no end. There's increase of salvation, increase of glory, increase of power, increase of worship, increase of evangelism, increase. Say increase. Not one area of increase, everything increases. Now I'm going to tie this in. Now I'm going to have to do it. Exhortation. When you get to Isaiah 22, talking about Shebna gets fired, Eliakim, we know Eliakim was the type of Christ. And he said, I'm going to commit his robe, thy robe, to Eliakim. And his government, say government. He was a treasurer of Judah. He goes, I'm going to give your government, your robe, and your office to Eliakim. He actually said, I'm going to clothe you in his robe. When you're in God, God clothes you. You got to learn to be clothed in God. You don't get clothed in God here. You get clothed in God there. Corporately you can, but individually, when you go up, you got to get clothed in him there. Seek to be clothed. Seek that atmosphere. Embrace it. He said, in the key of the house of David, say the key of the house. When he said house, he meant the government. The increase of his government and peace, there's no end. On the throne of David, I will establish it. Speaking of the government that was on his shoulders, he said, it's going to be on the throne of David. I'm going to establish it. That throne had two big pillars there. They were king priest pillars. He goes, I'm going to establish it. It's a spiritual place. Everything in the earth was foreshadowing what was in heaven, imaging what's going on in heaven. He said, the key of the house of David, I will lay what? Upon his shoulders. I'm going to lay the key to his government where his government dwells. That means you can't go find that key anywhere else but that place. It's not anywhere else. You can't look for it. It's the only thing. Listen to me very clearly. That's going to unlock the last days. That key alone is going to unlock the last days. How do you know that? Because he said it. We're living in a church age right now. The church of Philadelphia is about to be born. It's a last day church. That's going to be kept from the tribulation hour, but it's going to be crowned. He's going to open to him that has the key, because he was the Eliakim that received it. To him that has the key, which is Christ. I will open the house of David to this church. What he's saying, I'm going to open the kingdom. He goes, I'm going to open this house that's dwelling in the shoulders, this government that's dwelling in. I'm going to open this house to this church age. and I'm going to release this government into the earth. Something that's reserved for the last days. And then John sees it resting up on Christ with seven horns and seven eyes. He sees the seven spirits of God resting. He said, these are the seven spirits of God that are going to be sent forth in all the earth. That's about the all of that. I know it's heavy, but you got to get ready for heavy. It's in the shoulders. Say, it's in the shoulders. It's in the shoulders. We said the key to the house of David, I'm going to lay on his shoulders. He tells his church, I'm going to open this house. When he says, I'm going to open this government, this government, he's not talking about the government of David in the earth. It's the one Christ established. It was mirroring the one in heaven. He goes, he that has the key to this house, he goes, he'll open in this last days and none's going to shut it. It's from this room. All of this is going to flow. This word is going to be made flesh. And it's going to dwell in the earth. And there's a room where it all dwells called the shoulders of God. Benjamin is the inheritance. Say, I am Benjamin. When you wake up in the morning, I am Benjamin, the son of your right hand. I am beloved. I rest securely in you. You shield me and cover me all the day long, and I dwell in the midst of your shoulders. I dwell in your government. You know what's next? I'm looking for the key. I know it's there. I've been exposed to the room, the pillars. I've seen the room. I've been in there. How are you going to go back? I'm going to go back through that verse I've been quoting you all night. Don't you understand that's how you move in the kingdom? I am Benjamin. I have an inherited right to the shoulders of God. I've been given it by inheritance. I can't work for it. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can only access it by faith. We've been given access to understand the heavenly government of God. It's been made known to us so we can make it known to the world. What's in there is like no other power. It's in Christ. The key to the house of David's in the shoulders. The key, are you ready? To the last days is in the shoulders of God. The key to Revelation chapter 5 is in the shoulders. The key to the white horse is in the shoulders. The key is in the church of Philadelphia. It's going to be given to the last day church. That church is about to be born. It'll have the government of David flowing through it. What it means, the king priest government will flow. The waters will flow. The olive trees, the oil will flow. The whole thing will release. In one moment of human history, the world will see, hear, and understand the fullness of the testimony of God. When you're praying, you're going to go where you're centered. Where your focus is, where your compass is. Get the scripture in Deuteronomy 33 about Benjamin and start practicing, I am Benjamin, beloved of the Father. Do it all week. I'm beloved. Father, it's my inheritance. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm beloved of you, Father. I dwell on high with you. I am the son of your right hand. Wake up. When you go into prayer, wake up. I am the son of your right hand. That is my position. That is my inheritance. That is who I am. What are you doing? You're positioning yourself in an inheritance that's already been given. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you did yesterday, what you're planning on doing tomorrow. It's an inheritance. You can't work for it. You access it. First, start getting positioned there. I'm beloved. I rest securely in you. Father, I rest securely. See, you're getting further and further into Benjamin. See, say further and further in. See, right hand of God's a big place. We're looking for a very particular place in the right hand. We're looking for the shoulders. Understand it's all spiritual. You're not sitting upon the shoulders. You are on the shoulders. There's pillars that's upholding everything. You rest. You don't hold nothing. He upholds it all. And then work in that work into that area where he shields me. Become aware of the shield. He covers me all the day long. See, you're in love. You're in that position of being beloved. Now you're in that position of rest. Now you're being shielded. You're getting ready to move into the shoulders. Then you start going to the shoulders. I understand this is the place where your government. Say it. Father, this is the place where your government dwells. Your government is all around me. You clothe me in your government. This is the place where the key of David dwelleth. This is the place for the last days. I am the church of Philadelphia. I am called to receive this glory. I am called to receive this government. You see, as you do that, and you see, as you begin to position yourself, you'll start becoming aware of something that already exists, but you become spiritually aware. Your senses get in tune. Your spiritual senses get in tune with what's going on there. All of a sudden, you find yourself sitting there. You're in a place defined by the Word of God. It's a heavenly place. You've just moved into it. You move into it by practice. One verse, how much more difficult can it be? It might take you a few to get in. You got to get through the door. But once you get the one verse, work the one verse. There's a lot in that one verse. Be aware, you'll be amazed what happens. Your future's in that room. My future's in that room. The body of Christ's future is in that realm. What God's going to do next, what everyone's looking at, is all in the shoulders of God. It's time to move out of generalities. It's time to move into the specifics.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.